stuff. You don't get gypped around Christmas at Genesis Metro, I tell you what. Man, I hope today that this Christmas season is already going well for you. I hope that you've experienced what God intended for your Christmas season. Today we're going to be talking about unexpected moments in the Christmas story. Last week we talked about an unexpected message that was given to Isaiah in the Old Testament and then reaffirmed to Mary in the New Testament that a virgin would conceive and have a child. What an incredible message, unexpected to all that might hear something as crazy as that might sound. Today we're going to look at the shepherds that were in the wilderness. And we're going to see that they had an unexpected moment with God. And wrapped inside of that moment was a message for them as well. I can't help but notice that all of these unexpected messages surrounding the Christmas season kind of have to lead us to a conclusion that God probably has a message for you wrapped in this Christmas season. And maybe this morning you came in expecting just another church service, but maybe, just maybe this morning, God has an unexpected message wrapped in this moment for you. And as these shepherds were out in the wilderness, I want us to look at how an angel appeared and this crazy, crazy thing went down. And then I want us to look at how God gave them this message and gave them this moment to transform or to morph their lives. And I want you to know that the message of Jesus Christ coming to this earth to be born and to die on a cross is the most transformative message that has ever been spoken. And I hope today that you embrace the Christmas season. We're going to find out that the message to the shepherds were that God has sent his son to bring joy to the world. So I just want to ask you this question as we get started here this morning. Where's your joy meter at this morning? Would you say that you have great joy going into this Christmas season? Would you say that in your marriage you have great joy? Would you say within your personal life you have great joy? Would you say within the family life that you have great joy? If not, then understand this. That present is wrapped with an incredible bow this morning, sitting under God's tree, waiting for you to open it. It has your name written on it because God said that this message was for all mankind. So this morning you could leave here with great joy. And I can't help but think that it's a sad thing for God to see someone who claims his name who does not have great joy. There's something schizophrenic about a believer who is devoid of great joy. You're not realizing your potential in Christ until when people are around you, they are filled with your overflow of joy. So this morning, if that's not you this morning, if you're kind of a ho-humbug, if you're kind of an Ebenezer Scrooge, maybe a Grinch because your heart is two sizes too small or whatever it may be, I hope that we can expand you this morning with this incredible message from God. So let's get into God's word this morning in Luke chapter 2. We're going to cover verses 8 through 20. We're going to start off reading verses 8 and 9. It says, in the same region, Mary has just given birth, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, in the wilderness, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them. And they were filled with great fear. An unexpected moment morphed their mundane. All right, check this out. We haven't even gotten to the heart of this message, but this is already some good stuff. I just want you to know I was excited about this, so if I'm excited, you should be excited. And so they were out there doing their everyday, right? And then God introduced his message into their mundane in an unexpected moment, and all of a sudden their mundane was morphed into something marvelous. I mean, their routine turned into something remarkable. Their everyday turned into something extraordinary. I just want to ask you, do you ever feel like your life is just mundane? Do you ever feel like you're just going through the routine? I mean, is every day just every day? If it is, I've got good news for you this morning. I mean, if you would allow God to invade your everyday, he can turn it into something extraordinary. If you would allow him to interrupt your routine, he could turn it into something remarkable. Here are these shepherds, were out just doing what they do. It wasn't like they were in search of some great spiritual truth. They were just out taking care of sheep. And all of a sudden, God introduced his message in an unexpected moment. Do you think when they got up and went to work that day, that they said, you know what, I'm sure about 11 o'clock tonight, an angel's going to show up, and the glory of the Lord will light up the night sky. I don't think that's what they were thinking, right? I mean, I don't know if you've had any conversations with angels lately with the glory of God showing round about you, but I personally have never had that experience. I would say that if I was sitting in my room one night praying or reading my Bible, and all of a sudden the glory of the Lord and an angel was standing at the foot of my bed, hey, guess what? The Son of God was just born. Come check this out. I mean, that would be a rather unexpected moment. Would you guys, show of hands, would you say that'd be a little weird, a little unexpected? Okay, so here they were doing their everyday, and all of a sudden God showed up. I just want to invite you to understand that God has unexpected moments for all of us. That if you read the Bible, it's chocked full of unexpected moments. And I want you to know that this isn't just for the Bible, but if you chase after God for very long, I mean, the first day that I was introduced to God, he gave me something unexpected that affirmed and confirmed his existence in my life. I don't have time for that story this morning, but I do want to share a couple of stories about people that are sitting in the chairs beside you this morning, just so you'll know that God didn't just work 2,000 years ago, but he's still doing some crazy cool stuff, even in 2013. A few years back, Jeremy Bro and I got to go on a mission trip, and Drew Mitchell's another cat in our church. Drew, where are you at? Are you in here, Drew? Right there. All right, he was serving coffee a little while earlier. And we got to go on a trip to Nicaragua to do a medical mission trip. And I was in charge, I preached, so I was in charge of most of the evangelism, preaching two or three times a day. And we kind of got into it, and Jeremy had just accepted Christ 6 months prior to this mission trip. And a discipleship program was evolving, and Jeremy and Drew were one of the, they were in the first group that I took through the discipleship process. And so this mission trip opportunity came available, and I said, hey guys, do you want to go? And both of them were like, yeah, we're going to go. And they've never been on a mission trip, right? they don't know anything about what's getting ready to happen. Drew had a little bit more experience, but Jeremy had none. And so we're going down to Nicaragua, and this isn't your average medical mission. This isn't like we're staying in a big city and we're just kind of hanging out in the suburbs, right? This is, we're going deep. I mean, we're going to where there's no roads, okay? We're going where there's a compound built around the only school that's in the building with a little barbed wire around the top of the school for the fences, okay? That's how crazy the situation was. And so we're seeing literally thousands of Nicaraguans a day, giving them medical treatment, and we would have an evangelistic service for all the group that would come in, then they would go see the doctors and the dentist and get some shoes. And so Jeremy saw all this going on, and he came to me and he said, hey, you know, maybe, you know, what would you think if I maybe shared in one of the services? And I was like, whoa, well, look at you. Want to get up there. And I said, now, do you want to teach or do you want to preach? He goes, well, what's the difference? I was like, well, anybody can teach, but preaching is a calling from God. And I was like, why don't you go think about it and let me know? And I thought maybe the next day, you know, he would come up and let me know. And so he came over about 5 minutes later, it seemed like, and he's like, hey, I'll preach. And I was like, well, in Nicaragua now, in Genesis Metro, no, he's not getting up here. But in Nicaragua, you can do this kind of stuff. And so Drew was like, hey, I'll share too. I was like, well, we got an extravaganza going on here. And so I went and asked the leader of the trip. I was like, hey, I got two guys. I'm taking them through a discipleship process. They'd like to take one of the services if that's okay. He's like, yeah, I don't care. Nicaragua, okay, fine. Throw all the rules out. Seminary, no. Bible training, no. 6 months a believer, get up there and preach. So Jeremy and Drew get up, and they speak, and they just share. And some of you, see, you cheat yourself and you cheat God out of opportunities to use your life because you think you have to know all of this stuff. And here are these guys, relatively new, Jeremy, brand new to the faith, get up, share their story, and at the end we say, would anybody like to accept Christ? And 30 people come forward to accept Christ as their Savior. Most preachers will go their entire ministry and never see that. And here this cat is, 6 months into the ministry, first sermon, 30 people get saved. I was like, no more preaching for you. Doing too good up here, young man. And so I want you to know that, do you think that when he signed up 6 months into the faith to go on a mission trip to Nicaragua, that he ever expected that he was going to get on a stage and preach to a bunch of people that can't even understand and have to have a translator to get what he's saying, and through broken translation with not the most incredibly complex message, but one that was sincere of heart, that it would change the eternal destiny of 30 people. Now, folks, God has unexpected moments, and they're waiting for you to be unwrapped. And this morning, if you would just allow him to come in to your everyday, he will morph your mundane into something miraculous that can change the world around you. We have another guy in our church, Eric Varner. He's leading one of our men's studies right now. And the other day, he said something profound. We're sitting in a men's study, and I don't know if anybody even caught it, but we were talking about, you know, which way you should go in life and jobs and where you should change and blah, blah, blah. And Eric said this. He said, you know what? I don't even really care about my job anymore. I just do my job so that I can do my ministry. Now think about that. Isn't that a different way of looking at life? That you go to work so that you can provide for your family and then have the opportunity to do ministry, and that's really what's important to him? We have another gentleman in our church named David Anderson. We're launching our Celebrate Recovery ministry starting January 6th, and we're super excited about this to offer recovery from those that are going through divorce, recovering from addiction or depression, and having a peer group that help them get through that season of life. We're super excited about this. David is a recovering alcoholic. He's been 13 years sober this year, okay? Yes, worthy of applause. Now, I want you to know that David, I know it's a crazy story, has so many unexpected moments, twists and turns in his life. And now, as a result of him embracing and allowing God to invade his unexpected moment with an incredible message of Jesus Christ, he has changed his life and now wants to share that same message of hope through the Celebrate Recovery program. It's transformed him, and now it will transform others. I'm just trying to get you to see that there are ordinary people sitting all around you in this audience that have had unexpected moments wrapped with the message of God, and because they accepted it, because they received it, now they're being world changers in our community. I just want you to know that that's not for the special, it's not for the elite, but God has some unexpected moments for you. All you have to do is be aware and then embrace. So let's continue on with our story. It says that they were filled with fear, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This morning, I believe you're included in the all, right? If it's for all the people, then you are included. So if you are listening this morning, great joy is available. I can't tell you how important joy is in life. I mean, if you don't have joy, then you are depressed. You are obsessed. I mean, you are worried about what people think or worried about your achievements in life. When you have great joy, it will carry you through the dark days. And so here they say, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Now, do you get how unexpected this message is? I mean, do you get how crazy this? You are going to go into a stable, and you are going to find a baby wrapped in clothes that are meant for someone who has died, and then they wrap them in burial clothes. That's what swaddling clothes are. Can you imagine walking through a farm just out one day, just a normal day? You're walking through a farm one day and you see a baby wrapped in grave clothes like a mummy sitting in a food trough for an ox. Would that be a little unexpected for you to find a baby in those conditions, right? We believe babies should be born in hospitals and in sterile environments, right? I mean, amen. And so, ladies, you wouldn't want to have a baby out in the farm on a food trough, right? Would anybody sign up for that one? No. Okay. So all I'm saying is it was incredibly unexpected, unorthodox. I love God in this. So the next point I'd like to make is, do you hear what I hear? That this is a message that will mess you up. I mean, when you hear a message from God, I'm sure they were like, say what? I mean, the Savior of the world just was born over in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a one-horse town, folks. I mean, you get it. Bethlehem was way out. I mean, there was nothing. It wasn't a thriving metropolis. It was nothing. And here the Savior of the world was born in little tiny Bethlehem. What an unexpected message to hear. Now, here's the first point I want to make inside of this message that will mess you up, is that he knows where you are. Think about this for a moment. They were in a remote place. So Bethlehem is a one-horse town, and they are on the remote part of Bethlehem. They are out in the wilderness that is displaced a half a mile from nothing. So they are out in darkness, laying under the stars at night. And yet, the God of all creation knows always exactly where you are. I thought about some things that were similar to how some of you might feel in this situation. You see, shepherds were kind of the outcast. They were certainly the lower class. They were poor, average at best. And doesn't it say something about the character of our God that he didn't announce the Savior of the world, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? He didn't go to the princes, to the aristocracy, to the elite, to the bankers. He went to the commoner. He went to the shepherd. The first people that heard that the Savior had been born were shepherds in the remote part of Bethlehem of Judea. So think about this for a moment. Do you ever feel like you're all alone? Because I bet when they were out there shepherding with their little staffs and there were nothing but sheep around and your closest guy was over two fields and you were laying out, I bet sometimes it was cold and they felt alone. Maybe like the darkness was closing in. I don't know if you've ever been out in the dark and separated from people. It's a little unnerving for some. My wife would freak out, I'll tell you that. And then sometimes whenever you're out in the wilderness, you start hearing things. Has anybody ever been sitting at home at night, you start hearing things? Can you imagine if you weren't inside a brick castle and you're out in the middle of the elements and you start hearing the predators in the distance? Because you can always hear them before you see them. And I imagine sometimes they felt like the predators were circling around them. I wonder if anyone ever feels like that. It may be in business, it may be in your finances, it may be relationally, I don't know what it may be, but you kind of feel like you're either stranded or you feel like someone is coming to attack you. And here these shepherds are, and God knew exactly where they were. This morning, I just want you to know something. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He sees the struggle that is before you. He rejoices in your victories, and he has joy in your despair. Oh, this morning, isn't it great that we have a God that can find us in the remotest parts of the earth? Not only does he know where you are, he has something for you. That's the one thing that I know about God. This morning, you may have come in here, and you feel like, man, I don't have anything in life. He has something for you this morning. He has joy for you this morning. He has mercy for you this morning. He has forgiveness of sin for you this morning. He has eternal life wrapped in the bow of the cross available for you this morning. I mean, when you think about what you have in Christ, is there any person among us that is not wealthy? Are we not rich in Christ? I mean, are we not children of the King, princes and princesses of the man who came to this earth to save us from our sins? Man, this morning, don't go through this season of life not realizing that he has something for you. And then thirdly, he knows how to get it to you. Now, this is pretty cool, right? God said to an angel, hey, the Son is being born. You are now dispatched. And you know the angel was like, you know. I always imagine the angel like a golden retriever, right? Like, where? And the angel's like, you know, shepherds, Bethlehem, got it. And then he leaped. Think about this. Just try to, if you don't ever imagine what actually happened, then you don't get the story, right? An angel left the third heaven, traveled down. I don't know how they travel. Wings. I don't know. You know, they're just fast clouds. I'm not sure. But he traveled through the third heaven, through the second heaven, which would be our universe, down through Earth's atmosphere, and landed in one of the most remote parts of the world to announce the Savior's birth. Now, that's pretty incredible when you think about it, that an angel could find some shepherds on the backside of the earth. Now, if you can wrap your mind around that, then let's see this for just a moment. Is there any doubt in your mind that no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, that he makes his message available to you? That he makes his message of redemption available to you? That he makes his message of joy and peace available to you? No matter where you're at, he knows how to find you, he has something for you, and then he knows how to get it to you. So this morning, if you don't have joy unspeakable and full of glory resonating in your soul, it's not because that message and the messenger haven't made their way across your path. That unexpected moment is before us all. Every week, every day, every month, God is providing his word. He's providing his spirit to give us opportunities to see incredible things. The only thing that stands in our way is whether we have eyes to see and ears to hear. Oh, this morning, understand this, that this message will mess you up. I'm telling you, you'll start looking at life in an incredibly different way. Not only does the message mess you up, it has the ability to make you. Now, if you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. This is something that is revolutionary. Successful people, and I think we all want to be successful, have the ability to ask the right questions. Unsuccessful people ponder the wrong questions and seek answers to the insignificant on a regular basis, and they end up wasting their life chasing their tail. The wrong question to ask in this equation is, do you believe in God? That's the wrong question. If you're starting off this morning, do I believe in God? Okay, assume these shepherds believed in God. That's not the question. The question is not, does God believe in you? That's not the question. This morning, if you're wondering, does God really want to use me? No, God, it's not a matter of whether God believes in you. Wrong question. The right question is this. Do you believe in what God believes in you? Because if you believe in the message that he has just for you, I'm not talking about the message for the guy beside you. I'm not message for the girl beside you. I'm talking about the message that he has wrapped in his son, Jesus Christ, and he's offered it to you. There's a message inside of that. Do you believe in what he believes in you? I want to give you a couple of examples to nail this down, make it concrete. Whenever God came to Abraham was just like these shepherds. He's out in Ur of the Chaldees. Has anybody been to Ur of the? No, you haven't been. No. Nobody was like on a plane you were going by and you said, oh, stop off in Ur. No, okay? Ur of the Chaldees. And he said, Abraham, I will make you the father of many nations. That was the message. Now, Abraham was unable to have children. His wife was barren. And then he got past the point that he could have children physically of his own. And God is calling him the father of many nations. Do you get what I'm saying here? God believed that Abraham could become something that he wasn't, something that physically he couldn't be. And all of a sudden, Abraham believed, the Bible says. And as a result of his belief, it was accounted to him for righteousness. He accepted the message of what he was meant to be. And then all of a sudden he believed what God said he could be. And he became the message. The message made him the father of many nations. Whenever God came upon Gideon in the Old Testament, he announces, he says to Gideon, "Oh, mighty warrior." And Gideon looked behind him. He's like, is there another Gideon? I'm not aware. I did not know. I did not realize. And he said, God, I'm not a mighty warrior. You got the wrong guy. I am the smallest runt in the weakest clan of all of Israel. And he said, see, Gideon, it doesn't matter what you believe about you. It matters whether you believe what I believe about you. And he embraced the message, and the message made him what God believed he could be. When God comes upon David, David is a shepherd, and he is the eighth of Jesse's children, and he's the youngest brother, and Samuel the prophet was sent by God to Jesse's house to anoint the next king of Israel. And as he comes to Jesse's house, he says, Jesse, one of your children has been chosen by God who will be the next king of Israel. Can you imagine the excitement in the air? Can you imagine if somebody came to your house, one of your children shall be royalty for the rest of their lives and rule over my people from God? I mean, that's a pretty big day. That's a pretty unexpected moment, wouldn't you say? And so naturally, Jesse thought the oldest son, because in their culture, the oldest son was the son of privilege, the one who would be given the lion's share of the inheritance. And so he brings his oldest son, and Samuel's like, no, that's not him. And so the second oldest, no, third, all the way down to the seventh, and he's like, no, that's not him. And Jesse's like, well. And Samuel's like, is there no one else? And like, well, we got David. He's out in the shepherding. I mean, he's the young. I mean, he's a runt. I mean, nope. I don't. Are you sure? I would hate to be David, right? They bring David out. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? All the other brothers are looking. And Samuel sees David. He says, this shall be the next king of all of Israel. David embraced the message, and the message made him what he was meant to be. It wasn't a matter of whether David believed in himself. It was a matter of whether David believed what God believed about him. I wonder if that might change some of you in here and the way that you look at life. Do you struggle with doubt? Do you struggle with desiring the flattery and the opinion of others? And do you chase after the needless things of life, always coming up short and always wondering why your life isn't fulfilling? Could it be that you're trying to believe in yourself instead of believing what God believes about you? As I close, the rest of the story goes like this. And suddenly, there was, with the angel who had been giving them this message, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go. Let us go to Bethlehem. The response to whenever you hear a message from God is to seek after the promise that has been given. Don't just sit there after you've heard from God. So they went into Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. That's a whole other sermon I don't have time for today. But verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. You see, not only will this message mess you up, not only will this message make you, but this message, if you receive it, it'll move you. Think about this. These shepherds are out here in the wilderness. An angel comes down and says, the Son of God has just been born in a manger in Bethlehem. And then it was like all of the heavenly host, millions of angels, were waiting like a surprise party, okay? Have you ever walked in on a surprise party? A little startling. The angel says, the Son of God has been born, and he brings a message of joy and peace. And then it was like the heavens unfolded in an angelic host. All of a sudden said, glory to God in the highest. The angels themselves had been waiting for all of eternity for this moment for the Son to be unveiled, and they could not contain themselves. And God allowed a glimpse into what heaven will be like one day. Glory to God. Even the angels can't contain the worship of being in the presence of the message of Jesus Christ for the redemption of the world. And then the shepherds received it, and they began to seek. And then after they sought and they found, it says that they went and they shared. They told everyone about this man named Jesus, and then they returned praising God with a shout. Now think about that for a moment. Does this typify your life? Have you heard the message of God? Have you received the message of God? Have you begun to seek after the promise that he's given you? If you've received it already, are you sharing with others what he's done in your life? And then lastly, do you have a shout? Do you have a shout for him this morning? As you consider the Son of God came down from heaven to earth, that is worthy of giving him glory. Would you guys stand with us as we partake in this praising of God?